The world seems an especially dangerous place now. Why then the appetite for risky stocks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. After some decent runs this week, it's quite possible that by Labor Day, the Dow will be above 17,000 again. But if you step back from markets and into the wider field of geopolitics, how is that possible? John Rutledge is chief investment strategist at the global investment company Safanad. Good morning, Mr. Rutledge.
Good morning, David.
It sure seems like the world is an especially risky place at the moment. If you have the radio on for more than 30 seconds, Dateline Kiev, Dateline Mosul, Dateline Buenos Aires. Yet if you look at stocks, right, the S&P 500 could be back above 2,000 any day now.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, it's a total mess, but it can't kill the stock markets. And the stock markets are rising because of this inexorable pressure from the Fed's actions. When they finish QE this fall, the Fed will have $3 trillion of excess reserves on the bank balance sheets that are gradually being turned into loans and deposits. And the law of gravity in economics is when you increase the money supply, prices go up afterwards. So it's just a matter of time. The stock prices are just the first prices to rise in this story.
It's so interesting. And then you add to that that inflation is, well, as measured by the CPI this week, almost non-existent.
That's right. And people are getting lulled into a sense of security from that. But labor markets are tightening. There's difficulty now hiring people in different parts of the country. Prices are rising, too. And what will be pushing up the price index is the cost of rent, because people are moving from owned houses to rental houses. And over time, you could be sure those prices will firm and rise, which means the best asset right now to own is probably for the next 5 years is real estate.
John Rutledge, chief investment strategist at Safanad. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
The New York Attorney General's office is cracking down on racial profiling in department stores. This morning, a $650,000 settlement is expected with Macy's. The deal comes about a week after a similar agreement with the fancy Barney's chain, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
If you're a person of color, shopping at Macy's in New York may be risky. For the second time since 2005, Macy's has reached a settlement with the New York Attorney General's office over racial profiling practices. The AG's investigation has found African-American and Hispanic shoppers were detained at a significantly higher rate than whites. Retail researcher Paula Rosenblum says racial profiling in the industry is frequently an afterthought.
They mostly advise their store associates to watch out for people who look suspicious.
Milton Pedraza with the Luxury Institute says retailers have every incentive to train frontline and security staff so every customer feels welcome.
Even if you didn't have moral clarity on the issue, at least you should have economic clarity on the issue.
Pedraza says stealing a shirt is insignificant compared to the additional sales that come from building a reputation as a kind and generous merchant. For its part, Macy's has agreed to make several changes, including an effort to improve its anti-shoplifting practices. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Has the British public house become an endangered species? Here is the number. British pubs are closing at the rate of 31 a week. Stephen Beard investigates.
This boisterous pub is only closing for the night, but hundreds of other British hostelries will close for good this year, leaving their most dedicated regulars distraught.
It will damage the community, no question about it.
Stephen Langdon has just seen the closure of his much-loved local.
The pub is a real focus point for the families and the community in the local area because there is no other pub within convenient, easy walking distance of where we live.
His pub is going to be turned into a supermarket. A similar fate befell Gareth Epps' local, impairing his social life.
I don't see my friends so often. It means I don't see my neighbours so often. It means I lose the chance to play cricket for my pub team.
Can you get me a pint? And a heart, please.
Yes.
And 2 pints of Kronenbourg.
Many of the doomed pubs were making money, but not as much as the supermarkets that replaced them. Indeed, supermarkets now pose a big competitive threat as booze retailers. Roger Protts, author of 300 Beers to Try Before You Die.
Supermarkets are selling beer so cheap that, of course, people on low incomes really are driven into the arms of the supermarkets because pub beer is just so much more expensive.
Adding to the plight of the British pub is a corporate malaise. The handful of big companies that own most of the pubs are heavily in debt. They need to sell off more of their assets.
Roll up, step right this way. Welcome to the Great British
Pub
Beer
closures were all the talk at last week's Great British Beer Festival. The organiser, the Campaign for Real Ale, or CAMRA, used the occasion to expose what the group's Tom Stainer calls a loophole in planning law.
Something which is as intrinsic to British culture as the British pub can actually be closed down, it can be knocked down, it can be changed use with no reference to the local community.
CAMRA wants a planning application to be required before a pub can be demolished.
Give the community a chance first to say whether or not they mind that pub going or not.
CAMRA has launched an unusual crusade to drive the British people back to drink in a pub for the sake of the country's social health. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And did you see who will lead the charge to persuade regulators that Uber, the ride-sharing service, is legal? David Plouffe, the political strategist who ran President Obama's 2008 campaign. Taxis are heavily regulated in many cities, and those rivals believe Uber has been skirting the rules. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.